Hello. Let's join Fred Kuhn in another problem-solving interview.
Welcome, everybody. What a great show we have today, and a subject that is near and dear to my heart, which is mental health and emotional wellness in the workplace. Our guest today is Lori Sharp Page. She's a psychotherapist and owner of Sprouting Change. Lori has the mindset that the employee's health mentally and emotionally empowers them to improve their overall participation in the organization. And I agree with that 100%. You got to feel good and think good to work good. So, Lori, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. Thank you. Mental health and emotional health, they matter in the workplace. Why don't you tell owners that may not be aware of that, that are listening, why that's important?
Absolutely. So I think that it's important for a multitude of reasons, but the most important one is, at least currently, most employers are employing humans, not robots. And humans come with them, mental and emotional health. It's just part of the package. So, and mental and emotional health is already playing out in people's workplaces. It's whether or not they want to acknowledge it and take the effort and the time to really cultivate it to help an organization versus avoiding it and letting it wreak havoc on an organization.
I have lots of questions. I'm not even sure where to start, but let's just stream of consciousness stuff here. So you have an employee workforce, and the question then becomes, how do you recognize when it's not right, when there's problems?
One of the things I tell employers to really look at when they're first starting to kind of gauge, you know, kind of an organization's overall systems, mental and emotional health, is to look at the types of conflict that are happening. Conflict in itself isn't bad. Conflict is going to happen in a healthy workplace. It's how individuals deal with conflict that really is going to be reflective of what the emotional state of employees and the larger organization is. If you're finding that you're running into consistent conflict, either with the same people or conflict that feels really much larger than what the report of, you know, kind of where the conflict came from, I would be really curious about that. Usually that speaks to there's some type of breakdown within communication or some type of breakdown within expectations that's causing continued conflict. As humans, we are apt to cycle through the same conflict in almost like a pattern-like style without necessarily realizing it. And so it's not, again, about whether or not conflict's happening. It's happening. It should be happening. It's about how quickly can you recover from the conflict, also what things are adding to the conflict, and how are people, employees, as well as management, communicating about the conflict.
Are there ways that folks in, I guess HR is on the front lines of this, in terms of hearing about it. Am I correct or not in that assumption?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we are finding more and more that we're connecting with HR departments who are saying, look, we know that this is an important issue. We're not trained to deal with it. They are trained very well in conflict management, employee resource management, but there's a whole piece of the puzzle that's missing. And I think HR is becoming more and more aware of that. And they're also becoming more and more aware that they're not necessarily the ones who are best suited to address these issues within the workplace.
I'm sure there are many resources for addressing this, but you're certainly one of them. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. So I'm really passionate about bringing mental and emotional health into the workplace, primarily because prior to becoming a psychotherapist, I worked in a corporate environment and had a really hard time with it. And this was 2008, so right before kind of everything shifted and changed. But I quickly learned that it was hard for me to manage my own kind of well-being and still manage the workload that I was given. So I've, from a previous career, had some experience in this area. And I think this is where, you know, there's a lot of research and great professional out there who could really help organizations. And that's one of the things that me and my company tries to do, is to connect mental and emotional health experts with organizations to improve individual and organizational outcomes.
I know we have an organizational development division in our company that addresses these things too. It's a very important issue in the workplace. So I have a kind of a segue question here. You see a lot of different companies, and so Lori Sharp Page, I want you to tell me, are you seeing any generational differences in these emotional problems that are arising?
Yes and no. So I'm going to say yes to some degree, there's a generational difference because younger generations want to talk about mental health. They want to talk about it. They want to talk about how things impact their mental health, what strategies and tools they can utilize to help with their mental health. And so I think younger generations are a lot more assertive about talking about this. That being said, I think people from all generations struggle with this. And just because one generation is more vocal about it than another, I don't think points to any type of difference in the frequency that this is happening. But I do think there's a difference in how individuals from different generations kind of address this subject matter.
I know that boomers are very reticent to discuss this because it's always been a stigma and they're afraid they'll get their insurance canceled or their rates raised or whatever happens and they don't want others to know about it. So they sit on it and it festers. And it's not a good thing. Talking about these issues does help.
Absolutely. I mean, I think stigma keeps us sick. I think that's one of the things that's been really profound to me. I started this journey to become a therapist about 10 years ago. And within that 10 years, I have seen such a shift and change in how we talk about mental and emotional health. Stigma absolutely still exists. I don't think that we should say otherwise because it is present in a lot of different ways. But I think that stigma ultimately, to your point, keeps people from really talking about what's going on, which can ultimately lead to a poorer prognosis if there is a mental and emotional health concern.
Well, I think that HR people really should focus on getting training in this area because it is a very specialized area. Because as an HR person, you don't want to become a psychotherapist, but you have to know how to channel what you're hearing to address the issues to the right people, correct?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we found really a lot with working with HR people is that they want to be able to bridge the gap for people. And I think that you're right. They don't want to be psychotherapists. They know where their role is, but they also know that right now, the statistic for employees that utilize an EAP that have access to them, it's under 5%. And I think they struggle with how do we really get people directed into the resources that we already provide to them. And I think part of it is absolutely training. And I think the other part is setting up a culture within the organization that allows for this to be okay and to some degree allows for the resources that are provided to be really, you know, championed and cheerleaded and directed to when it's appropriate.
Okay, so let's move right into that aspect of this, and that is what corporations can do. We've already touched on it. You have a CEO and you have a CFO, and they're looking at the bottom line saying, I only have so many revenue dollars I can spend on so many things. So research is demanding it. Expansion of market is demanding it. Product development is demanding it. All of those are demanding the dollars. And here comes the HR person saying, we need to do training. We need to do this. We need to do that. So what is it that an HR person can sit down and say with confidence? And how do they convince the executive level that allocation of resources needs to be done here and committed here?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first is to recognize, like I kind of said at the beginning, that these things are already playing out. It's really whether or not an organization wants to address them. And the truth of the matter is that poor mental and emotional health of employees impacts an organization not only qualitatively as far as morale and things of that nature, but also very quantitatively. So reduced productivity, increased sick days, increased healthcare costs. Individuals with untreated mental and emotional healthcare costs are more likely to have chronic healthcare conditions that if untreated, the prognosis is going to be worse, which is going to put a drain on the whole healthcare system. So I think the first is to recognize that there are quantitative issues at play. They're harder to really kind of connect because our focus so much on employee resource management has been on output, but we haven't looked a lot at quality. And I think when you start to look at, you know, the quality of an employee and how much an employee can really handle mentally and emotionally within the space of their workload, it becomes pretty clear that this is a really important issue. So that's really where we like to start.
I'm working on a pretty serious white paper on multi or intergenerational issues. And it seems on the surface that different generations approach this differently. Should the HR people approach this differently with different generations, or is this a common thread that everybody can be addressed under the same blanket?
That's a tough one because it kind of depends on the culture of which the organization that you're in. My desire as a clinical professional is for us to treat everyone in mental health the same way and be having the same conversations, because I think it reduces stigma. Now, that being said, there might be some organizations where, due to generational differences, different generations are going to hear messaging different ways. And so in that case, yeah, it might be important to kind of address these issues in more targeted ways that really speak to their comfort level. But over time, what we really work to help organizations do is to try and change the culture within them that allows for conversations around mental and emotional health to be happening and not to be, you know, subjugated to specific domains or specific departments, but to really to allow them just to be.
Fascinating. Absolutely. We could spend days talking about methodologies here, I'm sure. But the purpose of this was just to expose the listening audience to the fact that there is a need. It's real. And failure to address it erodes the bottom line and the productivity of the company. Have you been able to find studies, current studies, that document this?
Absolutely. I actually had kind of a literature research review of mental and emotional health within the workplace article put together for HR.com about a year ago. And what was really fascinating to me is, again, as a therapist, I knew that these things were happening. But when I really started to look on the grander scheme, there is a lot of research that shows too how important and how impactful this phenomenon is. The most contemporary research shows that 1 in 5 Americans are going to face a mental or emotional health disorder within their lifetimes. Now, that's significant, even if we were to assume that that mental and emotional health disorder only impacts the person who's diagnosed. The truth is that it's not, you know, that impacts their family, their friends, their colleagues, their significant other, the greater community in which they work. So that this is something that's happening to some degree, either directly or indirectly, to all of us. The other piece is that we find that people miss more work days because of mental and emotional health concerns. And I think this is one of the reasons why we're starting to talk about mental health days instead of sick days. But right now, the annual economic impact of depression alone in America was estimated to be over $200 billion. So it's a really significant issue.
That's a big number.
It is.
Well, folks, we have spent a wonderful session here talking about an extremely important issue, and that's mental and emotional health in our corporations. Our guest is Lori Sharp Page. And Lori, I thank you very much for sharing your insights into this extremely important issue with our audience.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that we're having these conversations, and I appreciate you making space on the podcast for us to do so.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.